Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic, Will Dundon here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Also streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Today and every day, our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. And Joe Rexroad, as we know, you typically do. You write things at theathletic.com. And you've come out with a new piece this morning regarding what is going to be a really interesting weekend here for the Titans. Obviously, we've talked about it some this week. The Titans honoring some legends from the Houston Oilers days. And one of those, Bum Phillips being honored by the Tennessee Titans coming up this weekend. And you come out with a piece on that for The Athletic. Kind of tell our listeners what you've found, what you've come out with on theathletic.com, and why that's important for this weekend as we sit here for a big divisional matchup between the Titans and the Colts.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Bum, you know, obviously when the Titans announced the Ring of Honor additions this summer, the big, for good reason, the bulk of the attention here was on Floyd Reese and Jeff Fisher, of course.
Yep.
The you know, actual guys who were here in Nashville. Honestly, I saw the Bum Phillips thing and I was like, how is he not in there already?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was the first reaction I had. But then also, see, Bum Phillips is one of those things, another one of those if you're of a certain age, and I this is very, very early for me in following the league. It's more like looking back on it in like NFL films and stuff, but like that is one of the great fun teams and stretches in the league's history. It really is. And I'd argue it's the greatest stretch in Oilers history. But one of the things about this whole thing, I talked to Amy Adams Strunk, and she's really into making this a thing. Now, I don't know how much people really get into this around here, but I will say this. First of all, it was fun writing about Bum Phillips. I learned a ton. I talked to Wade Phillips, and I talked to Billy White, Shoes Johnson, and a bunch of other people. Robert Brazil, who's a Hall of Famer. So it was a fun story to do about Bum and his career. But one thing that I've thought of with this, with Amy Adams Strunk and this whole idea, one, obviously Houston's mad about this. They're pissed.
Yeah.
You know, to them, like, Bum belongs to them. They belong to the city of Houston, which I understand. Obviously, this is a business, and this is the franchise, and so it's here. But I will say that talking to every single person I talked to went out of their way to say, like, this is incredible treatment from Amy, and, like, I felt for years – I'm paraphrasing, but, like, I felt for years like I didn't have a place, and now I do. And I think the one thing, if you're – even if you're a Titans fan, is like, I don't care about Houston stuff, whatever – I think you should like this because this is what classy and well-run organizations do, and that's what you want to have in your organization because that typically leads to good teams. For example, we've talked about the Steelers organization. I mean, they've had three coaches since like 1970, you know?
Yeah.
But to me, that's still like this. That's a standard in the league of how you run an organization, how you treat people. Like with Amy, I mean, locker rooms and stuff like that doesn't matter nearly as much in the NFL as it does in college. Like NFL locker rooms, by and large, are way below the ridiculous Power 5 locker rooms.
Yeah.
But the Titans locker room was just crap before she reached. You know, she invested money to like, hey, let's have a good work environment. Like, there's been a lot of things like that that make sense and invest in people. And I do think this is another example, if you pay attention to this and the fact that they've got like 80 Oilers or whatever coming back and then a lot of family coming back for this. Like, this is how an organization should be run. So that aspect of it, Titans fans, I think, should pay attention to.
One thing that I think is probably under-discussed the last few years that probably needs more attention than it's gotten is Amy Adams Strunk. Because for so long, you know, obviously Bud Adams was here for a long time, and he was the face of the franchise in terms of the owner and you know, Bud Adams was a very vocal person at times and, you know, a visible owner at times as well. But when he died and when he was gone, there was a transition period for this franchise. And, you know, you had Tommy Smith in here and it just wasn't good. I mean, there were so many things from an operational standpoint in terms of the building itself, over at St. Thomas Sports Park, Nissan Stadium, you know, all these fan complaints that, you know, were well beyond the team on the field. By the way, the team on the field at that time, not very good.
Also not good.
Also not good. But Amby Adams-Strunk came in here, and there is a sense of stability now with this place and just a willingness to do things like this. And, you know, we've talked so much about the stadium experience. I think it's improved pretty dramatically over the course of the last 5 to 6 years. It's not perfect, and I know there's still conversations about having some difficulties getting into the stadium on game day, and that's something that
concessions
at
lines.
Some point, I mean, it's going to have to get figured out. I mean, that's ridiculous, and we all recognize that. But I think largely the job that Amby Adams-Strunk has done here from the top down has been really good since she's taken over, and that's something that probably does not get as discussed as it should.
Yeah, and it's – I mean, I think some of it is as simple as just like, are you good with people?
Right.
You know? Which she absolutely is. I mean, I don't know how many owners – there are some owners, of course, who are very visible. Amy – I mean, honestly, that's the first time I've talked to Amby Adams-Strunk in a couple years, I'd say. Like, it's – you know, she doesn't give a lot of interviews and stuff like that. But I've also been able to just, like, grab her after a game, and she's like, sure. I've seen her, you know, just hanging out with fans at training camp. I don't know how many owners do stuff like that. And that's part of it. And it's interesting, too, with this story, because learning about Bum Phillips, and I knew some of the funny quotes and the hat and all that stuff, but
these guys
love him.
Them's that's fired and them's that's going to be fired.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Stuff. I mean, but these guys love him. I mean, love him. Like, and that's what Wade Phillips told me. Wade Phillips obviously has had a very successful career. He won a Super Bowl as the Broncos DC. He was a head coach 3 times. Of course, he was a head coach on the other sideline for the Music City Miracle.
Yes, he was.
As I mentioned in the piece. But, you know, he said, of course, he's biased. He's like, I think my dad was like the best at getting the most out of players of anybody. But also, like, he's a 3-4 guy. He was an innovator. Robert Brazil was LT before LT. For people who don't know that history, he was the first 3-4 linebacker in a league that was just starting to tinker with a 3-4, who was like a pass-rushing monster. So he was actually a really good coach. And the thing is, these guys are also still pissed at Bud Adams for firing him. That's another thing that came out of this. I mean, like, and you look back, and it is wild. Like, they lost to one of the greatest teams of all time. Pittsburgh Steelers 2 years in a row. They come back home. Houston, the Astrodome, is packed both years with people for like this pep rally after a loss, not even in the Super Bowl, a loss in the AFC title game. And then the next year they lose to Oakland, an upset. And of course, and like immediately Bud Adams fires Bum Phillips. Now, a few weeks later, Jim Plunkett and Oakland go on to win the whole thing. So 3 years in a row they lose the Super Bowl champ. And it's like, you fired Bum Phillips, you know, and they were bad for a long time after that. So it's interesting. This is a little bit of a healing thing too, I think, you know, kind of like come back in, remember the good times. These guys are emotional about Bum Phillips though.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Lee from Nashville who wants to weigh in. Lee, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You guys are talking about Amy Adams-Strunk and it made me think of a cool story. I mean, this was the first playoff game against Kansas City back in, I think, 2017. We're on the road. And, man, it was cool. We were tailgating with a bunch of Titans fans and it had been coordinated through Twitter and all that. Lo and behold, like 45 minutes before kickoff, you know, she shows up to the tailgate and just hangs out and talks to the fans and gets everybody pumped up. And I just can't imagine too many owners doing that in the middle of a cold day and coming down in the middle of Kansas City tailgate, hanging out with fans that have traveled, you know, obviously hundreds of miles to get there, so support of the team. But I don't know, that ever since then I thought, you know, her being the lead of the franchise has really brought some more respect and maybe some more organization around. So I couldn't agree more. I'm born and raised in Nashville, but I've seen the ticket holder for a very long time, and I agree, before she came along, it was a mess. And the product on the field and off the field. And, I'm very happy, very proud that she's the owner and the face of the franchise. So just wanted to chime in with that story.
Hey, thanks for the call, Lee. We appreciate that.
Thanks,
yeah. And, you know, I remember videos of that happening. I think it also, during the playoff run too, you know, through New England and Baltimore and down to Kansas City, she was very visible around the fan base through that too. So, to Lee's point, not every owner does that.
No, for sure.
I don't see Jerry Jones hanging out a lot of tailgates.
Right. Like, Jerry Jones is always
He's always
visible,
everywhere. But
yeah, like, she goes and actually, you know, hangs out with fans. Yeah, I mean, it's just stuff like that. It's a personal touch. Another interesting thing with Amy and this story, you know, it almost sounded like a Texas scene from Ted Lasso, if anybody watches that show. Like, she's going into her dad's office, and then she and Bum are just talking about horses and stuff. And so his wife, it teaches her, like, about cutter, you know, do you know anything about equestrian cutter?
I do.
Okay, there, that's right.
I have no
Listen,
idea.
Listen, my horse, Levi, was a cutting horse. It is insane.
Yeah, so that is, Amy's telling me this whole thing. I'm like, really? It's like you have to separate
one of the cattle
from the herd and keep the cattle separate
okay.
from the herd.
All
this
right.
is a, so it's a, you know, it's a rodeo, ranch, equestrian. Yeah.
We're a very educational show.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, exactly. We've talked a lot, a little dressage.
A little
and we've
dressage.
Gotten some horse right. stuff on here. But, I mean, she stayed, like, really close with them, you know, after he was fired, too.
Yeah.
I mean, like, she's, like, still friends with, like, Bum. And, I mean, look, Bum Phillips, he went on to New Orleans. He almost got them to the playoffs, which, again, they were the Aints then. They were the worst. They were, like, the worst.
They're like the Lions.
And he got them to within the last day of the year, and they lost to the Rams and Jim Everett and didn't get in. And then he retired and basically went and was a Cowboy. But he also was doing Oilers broadcasts. I mean, it was a kind of like a no hard feelings on his part because the guy, yeah, just you learn about him. And even like some of the World War II stuff, Wade Phillips told me about him. And it's like, yeah, it's one of those guys that, yeah, okay, football's fun and let's have fun. Let's work hard. But this isn't life or death.
Yeah.
he actually knows about life or death, you know, in the South Pacific invading islands at the time.
Yeah, I would say that's a little bit more important. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, including some keys to a win for the Titans against Indy. All that coming up next. Hockey is back in Smashville. Training camp practice got underway about 12 minutes ago over at Centennial Sportsplex. And make sure you don't miss out on the 6 home games scheduled during the month of October. Those opponents include the Kraken, the Hurricanes, the Kings, the Rangers, the Sharks, and the Islanders. And October through February games are on sale now to the general public. And March single game tickets just went on sale this past Wednesday as well. So make sure that you capitalize on that opportunity. Gold games will be made available for purchase to fans who reside in the Nashville Predators television viewing area through single game ticket sales and ticket package purchases. By restricting the sale of tickets for these games, it's guaranteed the Preds fans receive the best opportunity to attend some of the biggest games in Smashville. So if you'd like more information or to purchase tickets, head over to Ticketmaster.com. Once again, those tickets on sale exclusively at Ticketmaster.com. Tune in to Nashville Sounds Baseball presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans tonight on 102.5 The Game as the Sounds continue their final home series of 2021 hosting Columbus, the AAA affiliate of the Cleveland Indians. It's Fan Appreciation Week at First Horizon Park, and tonight the first 1,000 fans will receive a 2022 magnet schedule. Grab tickets today. Visit nationalsounds.com. First pitch is at 7:05. Saturday's game is on ESPN 94.9. First pitch at 7:05. Fan Appreciation Night featuring $2 hot dogs and $5 and $6 beer. So that sounds pretty good to me. Sunday, the final home game for the Sounds. It can be heard on ESPN 102.5 The Game. First pitch for that is at 6:15.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
That's been a popular point of discussion lately.
It's not a sandwich.
I agree.
I've always said no.
Taco a sandwich, right?
No.
Exactly.
Why is this such a big argument?
I don't know. People
it's
get
a big
heated.
Deal, man. Big deal.
Yeah, like who even started this argument? Like
Jared.
Who feels strongly? Yes. Who feels strongly out there, like that they have to have these massive drawn out arguments that a hot dog's a sandwich?
You know what's about to happen on our text line.
No,
right?
I know. You know what? Grab a pop and shut up.
It's going to pour in, man, on the text line.
Throw that banana pudding
driven
away.
By WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I almost couldn't finish the sentence I was just speaking.
And rub my feet.
Yeah.
It's okay.
All righty.
All right.
We've got
Moving
some tickets
on.
To give away to see Nashville SC take on Orlando at Nissan Stadium coming up on Wednesday, September 29th. Be caller number three, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number three will win a family four-pack of tickets to see Nashville SC take on Orlando at Nissan Stadium coming up on Wednesday. So make sure you dial in right now. Be caller number three to win those tickets. Got Pigskin Pick'em coming up in about 12 minutes or so. Michelle Knezovic celebrating already. We'll get to the standings in Pigskin Pick'em here shortly. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025.
Got a nice picture from Babette Winchell from Murfreesboro. Says, Amy is an awesome owner. Stop talking said at tailgate. Love the show. Go Titans.
Thank you.
Picture of her with Amy. Thank you, Babette, and cool picture. She gets out there with the people, you know?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that.
Amy does.
Dennis texting in, how far away is Darrington Evans? Was his injury really that bad? And how bad is Caleb Farley in his injury?
I don't know. That's the quick, simple answer. You know, basically with – I mean, I don't love, like, shoulder. Like, you'd almost rather just hear, like, ankle with Farley because shoulder is still close to back.
Exactly.
And maybe I'm just overreacting, but shoulder, back, yeah, you don't love to hear that.
No.
Evans, that was said to be a knee. You know, it's not season ending. I think he's a forgotten element that should not be forgotten, but I understand anybody saying, well, why would I even count on this at this point? But I'm telling you, if he can be healthy, said it a million times, and at some point it's a broken record and the boy who cried wolf, but if he can be healthy, he can actually make a difference to this offense and make it even more potent.
Call Your Shot Friday, you had a take about Josh Reynolds scoring a touchdown this week. And now, obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with Josh Reynolds. We're making bold predictions in Call Your Shot Friday. But you seem to feel a little bit more comfortable with Josh Reynolds heading into this game. Where does that come from? Do you think that he is still on track when everything's said and done this year to be the number three wide receiver for the Titans?
Well, I don't know about that, but I think he's on track. It seems like he's past the health stuff. And it's still a short period of time, so we'll see. But it seems like he's past that. And look, he has very good speed. I just feel like, you know, Chester Rogers is a nice addition to the offense, and he's a true slot receiver, really. And he's obviously a returner. Marcus Johnson and Josh Reynolds are two guys who have the speed, I think, to really take advantage of everything else. And I think you could really get some intriguing matchups with those guys and take advantage of them. So I do think that he's going to have a bigger role if he can stay healthy. Now, TD brought up a good point. Why do they like Nick Westbrook at Kena? Why do they like the guys who play? I mean, blocking matters, Robbie. Blocking matters at receiver in this offense. A.J. Brown, even though he dropped all those passes, perfect little kick-out block on Jamal Adams that did just enough to spring Derrick Henry on the biggest play of the game. So I don't know if I mean, Reynolds is very skinny, that's for sure. I'm not saying he's not a good blocker or a willing blocker, but he's going to have to do that some. But, again, even if it's a limited role, I feel like a few times a game, if he's running like he can run when he's healthy, then I'd try to exploit that.
Joe Rexroad, what are your keys to victory for the Titans as they take on the Colts coming up on Sunday? Knowing, of course, that there's some uncertainty at the quarterback position for Indianapolis, and we don't know exactly who's going to be under center. With all that in mind, what are your keys to a win and for the Titans to improve to 2-1 on Sunday at Nissan Stadium?
I think my number one key is rush defense. Regardless of who's at quarterback, you've got to stop the run because that's what they're going to try to do, regardless of who's at quarterback, because even if it's Wentz, he's going to be limited, and they have to run the ball. You can't let them run the ball. So that, to me, is the key to the game. If you don't let them run the ball, if you get them in third and long, a third down defense, and by the way, had 8-12 success against Seattle, you got to feel great about your chances. That, to me, is it's almost like the only key to me. Because everything else, it's like, yeah, you know, win the turnover battle and all the basic stuff that you have in football games. Execute on offense. I don't think they have to do anything special other than just have a nice balanced offense and play like they did last week and then finish drives. I mean, the Reds, that's all, but again, that's another like every game thing. if you're settling for threes, the other team's scoring when they get in there, you're probably going to lose. Titans' red zone offense wasn't good enough last week. But just in this game, it is, to me, it is stop the run.
Yeah, I would say that's got to be the big key if you're the Titans heading into the game, especially on that side of the ball. And then offensively, I think you've got to find ways early on to keep Indy off balance. Obviously, they're going to be keying in on stopping Derrick Henry. Everybody knows that. That's no secret. That's what teams do. They try to stop Derrick Henry. And very rarely does it work where you stop Derrick Henry. But as you pointed out, some skills and really some personnel for Indianapolis where maybe more equipped to do that than other teams are. I think this is another big test for Todd Downing. Can you keep the Colts off balance? I thought he did a much better job of that against Seattle. Can you use Julio Jones, A.J. Brown early in the game, maybe to get them thinking a little bit about what you're going to do? We know, you know, Ryan Tannehill is important every week. That's not going to change this week. But the play calling, keeping Indy's defense off balance, and then attacking with Derrick Henry when it's there, going to be really interesting to see how Todd Downing and that staff handle that this week against what is going to be a very motivated Indy front. They were talking about tackling Derrick Henry yesterday. Had some interesting comments on that front, too. It's going to be a big test for this Indy defense, but one that they seem to be eager to try and meet that challenge.
Yeah, and I'd say another key, and someone we've talked a lot about this week, just on an individual level, is Taylor Lewan. Look, I expect him to start. He's been full practice. And meanwhile, his backup, Tyson Brailoe, was limited yesterday. He's on the injury report with the foot, which is going back to last year. Both of them had season-ending injuries.
And it is some Brailoe.
Yeah, we need an intervention with this entire – I mean, honestly, Nashville, it's kind of bad. It's Tyson Brailoe. He has said it, he has made it clear, and everyone's staying Tyson Brailoe.
Some Brailoe.
I mean
– FYI.
It's like 90% of media in this town call him some Brailoe.
Yeah.
We don't shame them enough. So Tyson Brailoe banged up a little bit. Taylor Lewan is going to start. I expect, and it's a big day for him to just play better. And look, this offense needs it. And if some Brailoe is a little bit banged up and you don't feel great about him, and then Lewan, I don't know, whatever, things aren't going well, I mean, your next step there is Kendall Lamb.
Yep.
So it's a big day for Taylor Lewan to get back into it because, look, this offense has to have him playing like him, playing like he has played, despite what some people think they've seen in the last few years. That's how he's played very well to be as great as it thinks it can be.
I've got a text on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com talking about Darrington Evans and Caleb Farley. Give them both mustard to speed up the recovery process. As we know on this show, mustard, a very valuable tool.
Mustard as a hiccup.
Yeah.
Killer, yes.
And as I suspected, lot of debate on the text line about the hot dog being a sandwich. You've opened up a can of worms.
Oh, God.
There are people on both sides.
I'm just ignoring the people who say it is. It's stupid.
A lot of debate going on.
I mean, there are better, I think the pop soda, that's a good argument, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's like a culture thing. Like, if you think a hot dog's a sandwich, what?
Well, you're about to get more people rolling in on the text line.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hot dog. So anything with like meat and bread has to be a sandwich? Is that the argument?
Peanut butter and jelly's a sandwich.
Lane Kiffin said it was sandwich.
Okay, well now I'm really on the board of it's not a sandwich. Good. Thank you, Joey Freshwater.
Join Stillman and Company this Monday from 2 to 6 live from the Boat Hotel located at 401 2nd Avenue South. Boat is only a 15-minute walk from Nissan Stadium and a great place to meet your friends and tailgate before the game in the courtyard that offers fire pits, picnic tables, lounge chairs, vintage truck seating, cornhole, and more. Stop by and grab some game swag and sign up for your chance to win a pair of tickets to win or to see WWE Raw at Bridgestone Arena on Monday, October the 4th. When we come back, it is time for Pigskin Pick'em here on 102.5 The Game. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week. Time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road. We pick games both in the NFL and in college football as well. Local games on the table, which we do every week, and then individual selections as well. It's been a good start for Michelle Knezovic in this competition. Not so much for Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexrode. With that in mind, Michelle, what are the standings heading into week number 3 of Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rexrode?
Okay, so right now I'm in the lead, 7-5 with 8 points.
She's very excited.
To be
about
so
that.
Giddy.
Yeah, she
about
was
it.
Really excited about that.
In second, Rex Road, you're in second.
Barely.
4-8 with 5 points. Robbie coming in third.
3-9
with 3 points. So nobody got their lock last week. Joe and I got our locks week one.
I mean, you did bounce back from 0-6.
I was 0-6 in week one, 3-3 last week. So
that's a big
we're starting
big
to turn
recovery.
Things around a little bit. So with that in mind, let's get things rolling today on today's version of Pigskin Pick'em. We begin with Georgia and Vanderbilt. Georgia favored by 34.5 in this game. A 34.5 point favorite. Michelle Knezovic, you're in first place. We begin with you. Who are you taking in this one, Vanderbilt or Georgia?
I think every week I have not picked Vanderbilt. And for a second I was like, I don't know, maybe a little bounce back. We saw a little momentum against Stanford, but there's no way. I'm picking Georgia and Kirby Smart for this one.
Going with Georgia, minus the 34.5. Joe Rexrode, Georgia favored by 34.5. That's a big line. Who are you going with in this game, Georgia or Vanderbilt? Obviously to cover.
Right. This one actually is tough because, again, I it's just that it's a name your score game. I could see it absolutely. I could see the line being reached by halftime. But how does it play out? Do they call things off? Does Vanderbilt keep playing? You know, is there a backdoor cover here? I think if it was another half point or point, I would go with Vanderbilt, but I'm also going to go Georgia to cover.
I will go Georgia as well. I think the final score ends up being about 45-3 or something in that regard. I just think this defense is too good on Georgia's side of the ball, so I think Georgia covers that spread. Moving ahead to Tennessee and Florida, the Vols traveling down to the Swamp where they have not won since 2003. Obviously, Florida with an emotional game last week against Alabama, a tough two-point loss. The Gators favored by 18.5. In this game. Joe Rexrode, we begin with you. Who are you going with, Tennessee or Florida, with the 18.5, Florida favored by 18.5 in this game?
I'll go Tennessee. I think I don't think this is like a close game throughout, but I definitely buy into the letdown, both physically and emotionally, storyline with the Gators. I'm sorry, but Tennessee does not move the needle in Gainesville. Not nearly like it used to. Coming off that Alabama game, played so great, got so close. I think Tennessee's offense will find a way to put some points on the board in this game and cover that.
I've seen this movie before. Give me Florida. Florida covers the spread. Look, I just think the line of scrimmage is what it is right now. And I think Florida is going to be able to run the ball at will against Tennessee. And I just, you know, when you get into a game like that, if you're Tennessee with this offense, I think they're going to be a couple of three and outs. And when you go three and out that quick, I just think you're going to put your defense in the bad spot. I think Florida wins this game by about 24. I think give me the Gators to cover this spread. Michelle,
I've got
Florida or Tennessee?
I've got the Gators in the Swamp. And as Steve Spurrier said earlier, may the football gods be in their favor.
Yeah.
Forever in their favor.
Forever.
It seems that way.
Yeah. Well, it does in this rivalry. That's for sure. So Michelle and me going with Florida, Joe going with Tennessee in the matchup between Tennessee and Florida. The Titans and the Colts coming up on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. I'll kick us off in this one. This line is 5.5. So the Titans favored by 5.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Give me the Titans in this game. I think they're going to control this game. I think that they're going to win semi-comfortably. I'm not saying it's going to be 21 points or 28 points or anything like that, but I think the Titans end up winning by about 10, 13 points in this game. Give me the Titans to cover the 5.5-point spread. Michelle Knezovic, the Titans or the Colts? Who are you going with in this matchup?
I'm going Titans too, Robbie, and let's just hope we win and we don't see just a dumpster fire here, especially if Carson Wentz doesn't play. I'm going Titans.
That's the other thing. We have no clue what the quarterback situation is going to look like. Either Joe Rexrode, Titans favored by 5.5 in this game. You going with the Titans or are you going with the Colts?
Yeah, I have struggled with this one. I am going to go Colts, and I think it's going to be like a late cover situation of a relatively close competitive game. I think they're going to hang in. I think they're going to be tough. They're going to run it with some success, play good defense, and make this a kind of a mucked up kind of game, but I think they will ultimately, it'll be like Titans, like 27-23, I think was my pick in the Athletics. Well, I'll stick with that.
That's good. That means the Colts would cover that spread.
There you go.
Good call on that front. Now we move to the individual portion of our selections. Three individual picks, both college football and the NFL, are on the table. Michelle Knezovic, we begin with you. Your first individual selection is whom?
First individual selection, continuing with the NFL, Arizona Cardinals are favored by 7.5 against Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. Jacksonville.
It's looked rough.
It's looked rough down there. So, yeah, I say they beat them by more than a touchdown.
So, Michelle taking the Cardinals minus the 7.5 against the Jags in this game. They play like they played, especially in week one. Be a pretty easy cover there for Arizona.
Yes.
Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection in the competition is whom?
So, I'm a little hesitant with this team because a lot of times they offensively don't do enough. They can get into some kind of grimy games. But Colorado State at Iowa minus 23.5. I mean Colorado State is bad. Iowa at home, I hesitate a little bit because, you know, sometimes they let teams hang around, but I gotta go Iowa. Give me Iowa. Minus 23.5.
Give me Michigan State minus the 4.5 against Nebraska. I apologize to Will, but I just think Michigan State is going to roll in this game. Give me Michigan State minus the 4.5 and make it my lock. I am locking down on Sparty this week against Nebraska.
Brennan would be so excited to find this out.
I'm also taking Brennan down in fantasy football this week. We'll see what happens
on
that front. Joe Rexroad, your second round of individual picks is whom?
So, you know, I've been making this habit of finding UConn. Well, UConn burned me.
They did.
But really, Army burned me because Army's up 42-0 at the half, and then they mess around and let UConn score some late TD to cover. So now I'm on you, Army. Miami of Ohio at Army. Miami of Ohio is not good. Army minus 7.5. I think they're just going to do their thing and score a lot with their triple option. And I think they're going to easily cover that. So, Army, I'm counting on you to not let me down. And also, maybe be a little bit pissed off that Tennessee canceled the series.
Yeah, maybe
give
so.
Me Army as my lock.
That's right.
Guarantee.
Locking it down for Army. I like that against Miami of Ohio. My second individual pick, I'm going to stick in college football. And this is going to be, I think, a really good game. And one of my favorite games to watch this weekend. Texas A&M favored by 4.5 against Arkansas. Give me the Hogs, baby. Arkansas plus 4.5, and I'm just going to throw it out there. And I know that I don't get any bonus points for this. I think Arkansas wins outright. I think Arkansas, Sam Pittman and company get it done against Jimbo Fisher. Give me the Arkansas Razorbacks plus the 4.5.
Boy, would they be mad at Jimbo if that happens.
Yes, they would. Ooh, Michelle Knezovic, your second individual selection is whom?
I'm glad you picked that one, Robbie, because I was going back and forth between that game and LSU-Mississippi State. LSU is favored by 2.5, and I'm going Coach O and the Tigers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm picking LSU to win that one.
It's a little revenge from last year. Mississippi State, we thought that Mike Leach was going to come in and just light up the SEC last year after that first game, and then –
here
turns
we are.
Out LSU at Mississippi State, not very good.
Yeah, that's another one of those great week one, like, oh, my gosh, Mike Leach is about to torch SEC. Just like, oh, you let Belichick have Cam. What have you done, NFL? Brady nice. Washed. Yeah, be careful. Be careful these early takes.
Michelle Knezovic, wrap us up here with your final individual selection, the final round of individual picks.
So – I couldn't let myself not do it. I'm doing Kentucky, South Carolina. Kentucky's favored by 5. And come on, we know who I'm picking. The Wildcats, and that's my lock.
Guarantee!
Kentucky minus the 5 against South Carolina and locking it down.
I think you're probably going to be right, but you know the going with your heart on locks, man, that should cost you. It should cost you.
I don't think
it will, though.
He told me that. He said, start picking with your brain, not your heart, Michelle.
That's right. Well, whatever you're doing, apparently it's working.
You're kicking
in this competition, so don't worry about what we say. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection is whom?
I'm going to go to the NFL with this one. Dolphins at Raiders. You know, I'm a little hesitant. Gruden and the Raiders, are we buying them? Are they kind of due for a flop?
Yep.
But with Tua going down, Jacoby Brissett, Raiders minus 3.5, I think I've got to go ahead and go with the Raiders at home, minus 3.5.
Big fan of John Gruden over here.
Yeah, I'm never mind.
I'll go with it. I'll stick with it. Why not? All right. To close us out here, my final individual selection, I'm going to Sunday Night Football. The Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, boy.
Dave Bakhtiari is out. He's going to miss the first six games for the Packers. And now, who might be their best offensive lineman overall, Elgton Jenkins has not practiced Wednesday. He has not practiced Thursday. And if he can't play Sunday, that's a big deal against Nick Bosa and this defensive front. San Francisco favored by 3 in this game. Give me the Niners minus the 3. I think San Francisco at home gets it done against my beloved Green Bay Packers. They cover the 3-point spread on Sunday night.
Going against
the Packers.
Going against your heart.
That's one where I would not mind being wrong.
Yeah, right.
Came in 5-1 on Monday, and that was the one, that'd be great.
Kind of cover your bases.
Yeah.
You know, either way, you won't be too upset. Now, of course, you can't be totally happy either, but
no.
you'll be fine if you're wrong on that one.
I just – not having your complete offensive line ready to go against that front could be a problem.
So Dennis Kelly – potentially on the field, huh?
Could be.
There you go.
See, that's hard. Would you rather
Here's Nick Bosa. Have fun.
Would you rather win your bet or have your team win?
Oh, much rather have my team win. Oh, yeah. I hope that's how most people operate. But most people, when they do that, they bet on their team.
Well, unless the bet involves like a large sum of money, I guess.
Right? Well, yes, yes.
Which, as of now,
this one's free.
This is, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So just friendly competition.
I mean, we could put some kind of stakes on it. I mean, I would have done that before the season, but now I'm hesitant.
Hey, let's do it.
Yeah.
Michelle, feeling
good.
It's
early. It's early.
It is early. Lots of football left to be played. That is today's edition of Pigskin Pick'em. Good luck. See what happens.
Bad luck.
We'll have a recap next Friday, but honestly, we'll probably have a recap on Monday.
Bad luck to you in all but beating Brennan in fantasy football. Make sure you get that done, okay?
Thank you. I'll see what I can do on that front. When we come back, it is time for NSC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. Be caller number 1 at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Guess the goal scorer for Nashville SC's match coming up on Sunday against Chicago. If you get it right, you'll win a 4-pack of tickets to a Nashville SC home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It's hooked in and headed in. Delirium! Yonder Cadiz!
Who's going to find the back of the net in the upcoming Nashville SC match? Robbie and Rex Road make their picks to click for the match and welcome a listener to do the same. NSC Pick to Click on ESPN 102.5 The Game is brought to you by Camarena Tequila.
And it is that time of the week, time for NSC Pick to Click here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. And we need your participation. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 1 will have a chance to participate. And if you get it right, if you guess the goal scorer for Nashville SC against Chicago this weekend, you'll win a 4-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. And with that in mind, Joe Rexler, the standings are as such. The listeners in first place with 7. They got on the board the other night again against Miami. Michelle on the board the other night with 3 correct answers, now solely in second place in the competition behind the listeners. Robbie Stanley at 2 has moved up into a tie with Joe Rexroad as well. So, Joe Rexroad, much like Pigskin Pick'em, we've got some work to do, my friend.
We do.
So, with that in mind, it is Robbie Stanley's turn in the rotation to be first.
You sure about that?
I'm 1,000% sure
cheating?
About that.
Are you cheating?
I am not cheating. You had first pick the other day.
First, yeah.
I'm not cheating at all. And with that in mind, I would be crazy to not go with Hani Mukhtar. So I'm going Hani Mukhtar. Give me Mukhtar in the competition. He did get hurt at the end of the game the other day.
He got a little banged up.
But Gary Smith said he's all right. Said there's not going to be any lasting damage. So I think Mukhtar is going to be fine. I think he's going to play. And I think he's going to score. So give me Mukhtar in this competition. Michelle Knezvik, you are up 2nd. Your pick to click is whom? Do you rely with Old Faithful? Because there are a couple interesting options that are now dangling out there.
I know. I think I'm jumping ship again. I'm going to go CJ Sapong.
I feel confident
in him.
Nice selection. So Mukhtar, Sapong off the board. Joe Rexroad, you're up next in the competition.
Thank you. Randall Leal with the equalizer. I'll take that all day.
There you go. So Leal has been selected by Joe Rexroad, Mukhtar for myself, and CJ Sapong from Michelle Knezovic. Good luck.
No one after Walker Zimmerman has such a play.
Well, he's not going to score every game.
I know.
I kind of felt crazy going off the board last time and taking Walker Zimmerman. And then not only did he score, the number one play on SportsCenter's top 10. If you missed it, go check out Walker Zimmerman's goal the other night against Miami. It was pretty awesome.
It was like he has Davis Mills' neck or something.
Yes, it did look like
amazing.
That. Some hops involved for Walker Zimmerman as well. But yeah.
What if he did? Like, what if his hops and Davis Mills' neck were a combination?
Sent that ball into the ninth row up there. Shout out to Davis Mills. Enjoyed watching him play quarterback last night.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. That's
great.
Jeez.
Boy, Thursday Night Football is really getting into the swing of things. Give us a little Panthers. What do we have next week?
Pretty sure the Jags are on next week.
Yeah, I get some Jags.
Jags-Bengals. Thursday night next week.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Right, just how we like it.
That could be
last night. I'm like, hey, what is this? We got App State over here. All right, let me flip over to
App State. I will say, Jags Bengals, that will be the back-to-back number one pick matchup. Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence.
And usually the back-to-back number one pitch matchup
words
is between sucky teams.
The early favorite, Cincinnati favored by 6.5 in that game. If you want to get that in there before next Thursday.
Jump all over that.
Yes. What do the Vols have to do to keep this competitive on Saturday against Florida? Favored by 18.5, the Gators. You're going with Tennessee, so you got some faith that they can hang around in this game.
I mean, it is a big number.
It is big.
I mean, I don't think this is going to the fourth quarter with the game in question. But they have to execute on offense. I think there will be plays to be made there. I think what they do on offense, it can work against that defense. Look, very impressed with what Florida did, but you know, that was also sometimes you see that in college football. You see a team rise up and physically do things beyond what it should be. And a lot of times you see that team the next week not play the same way or even close to it. And the other side, I think Tennessee is going to have to be really aggressive/gambling on defense too.
Yep.
You want Emory Jones in position to make mistakes because he can. He will. You got to give him that opportunity by stopping the run. Easier said than done.
Easier said than done, and Adam Sparks said it earlier. I mean, what you also have to keep in mind going up against Emory Jones is he'll pull that thing down and run, and Richardson will as well. So the quarterback run element, you know, Kenny Pickett ran around a little bit. He's a good runner. I think Kenny Pickett's a good player. Emory Jones, Anthony Richardson, they can run around too. So that's something you've got to be aware of if you're Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, it's – look, they're very good. And, you know, it's a tough place to play. I think this is going to be kind of a good test of what I believe about this offense from Josh Heupel, which is, one, it's kind of upset-proof against inferior teams.
Yep.
And also I think it can give you opportunity to be closer in games like this. Now, is it a win a championship with it offense? Well, I mean, I guess if you have, like, championship-level players.
Yes.
But I think it is a bit of an equalizer.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Cody texting in. Picks like this is why Rex Road is winless in the fantasy league.
What pick?
I think Cody's a Florida fan, so you did go with Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
LeGoat.
You know, you just take it easy there, LeGoat.
LeGoat James beat me in fantasy, I think.
So LeGoat's 2-0?
Yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, it's early LeGoat.
Early. A lot of football left. Robert in Nashville texting in. Need Peyton and Eli on Thursday night instead of Monday. Maybe so.
That's actually a great call.
Need them every night.
That's a great call. Put them on the Monday night's usually good games. I'm good with watching, you know, those guys in Riddick, and then put these guys on crap games on Thursday.
Heidi from Dixon texting in. So what's the latest on who's out with injury for the Titans this weekend, and when can we get Zach Ertz? Ferkser ain't the answer, Joey. So now you're Joey.
Joey.
Well, we're very, you know, comfortable with each other.
Grabs the foot.
We'll see if Ferkser's able to go.
I don't want to put my foot in my mouth.
No, you don't.
Zach Ertz, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Ferkser hasn't been playing, Heidi. How do you know he's not the answer? He played.
Game.
He's been banged up, and he didn't play last week, and I don't think he's going to play this week.
Yeah.
Which is not great, by the way.
Michael Pruitt Get back in there, buddy.
Jeff Swaim.
Great game last week.
Jeff Swaim, don't let Tannehill get trucked again.
Yeah, try to. We'll see if Tannehill can get out of this game without being run over by a Mack truck at some point.
Yeah, you keep playing that lotto number, and at some point it's going to hit on you in a bad way.
That does it for us today. We'll be back on Monday morning to recap a busy sports weekend here in Nashville, Tennessee. Darren Donica Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.